Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. My guest this evening is Ami Nahari, the CEO and founder of The River, a fairly new wine distributor who already has made a name for itself by carrying some of the superior kosher wines. Good evening, Ami.
Good evening to you.
So how does a nice Jewish boy go into wines? How did that happen? Yes, we know that wine is a time-honored Jewish tradition, but how do you get into wine?
All right, that's a great question. It's actually a coincidence. That's really how it happened. My wife and I, for a while, we've been looking to start our own business. My wife is a marketing director. Myself, I'm a business consultant. I work for BT, for British Telecom, and I've been working in Wall Street, high tech, helping financial and technical companies. And we always wanted to start our own business, hopefully with products from Israel. We're very Zionist. We love our country, and we really thought of bringing any kind of products from Israel to the States. We looked around for olive oil, jam, all kind of ideas that came up. But really what happened, one of our visits, this is about 4 years ago, one of our visits to Israel, my dad took us to a trip around Gush Etzion, where my parents live, where I grew up, and he showed us the Lone Oak, Kfar Etzion, and he told us, mm-hmm. I know that you guys both love wine. I want to show you the winery of Gush Etzion. My wife and I are both wine enthusiasts, and we went to see the winery, and we said, okay, let's drink some wine. And both my wife and I were overwhelmed by the quality of this wine. I started talking to Shraga Rosenberg, who is a good friend of my dad, who actually sits beside my dad in shul, and
wow.
I asked him, why don't you import your wine? He goes, I'm actually looking for an importer. So I said, that'll be me. He said, no, I'm looking for somebody with experience, somebody who has connections already, somebody that can just put me through. I went back to America, and I did my research. I started talking to people, and I kept calling him until he said yes. And he gave me that chance, and we never looked back. That's how we started.
You were talking about Kfar Etzion. That brings back a lot of memories. I did my army duty right below the mountain over there, the Mickey Mouse, at the old British Taggart Fort, Hel and Asa.
Wow.
That was my basic training.
That's right.
But that goes
from
back to prehistory, way before you were even born.
That could be it. I went to yeshiva in Efrat. My brother went to yeshiva in Alon Shvut. We're very connected to the area.
Very nice. Now, okay, so you liked wine, but other than the fact that you liked wine, what did you know about wine at the time that you decided to start importing it?
I did not know. I knew about business. I'm a business consultant. I help businesses improve their business, have a business case, understand their environment, and know how to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why don't I start my own business? All the consulting knowledge that I have occurred throughout the year, I'll use for myself, and that's exactly what I did. Now, to be honest with you, I only started drinking, you know, what you call good wine just about 10 years ago. My wife is the real wine connoisseur. She grew up at a home in a family where her parents both appreciated wine from young age. I don't want to say too young, but the whole, you know, she grew up understanding wine and how to taste wine. So she has more wine knowledge than I do. I have more business knowledge, but she has more wine knowledge. So funny to say that every time a winery asks me to import their wine, I always tell them, let's wait for my wife to taste the wine. She writes the notes, she gives me a feedback, and then we take it from there.
Talking about writing notes, most people do not understand wine, especially us Jews. Okay? I remember the first time I ever heard a wine critic on the radio. This was in the late 80s, early 90s. The guy said, this wine has a lot of mineral notes. It's rather young and impertinent, but it will mature and have great class. Sounds great. Okay. I had no idea what he was talking about. Didn't tell me anything about the flavor, didn't tell me anything about anything. Truthfully, do the notes help most people, or it's an individual thing?
That's a question I get a lot, and I do have an answer for that. I think there are two levels of notes, okay? There are the basic notes, which are important and should be important to most people. And then you have a more detailed type of notes that could help those that have been practicing or their palate have been developed throughout the years. For example, what do I mean? I mean there are basic notes. For example, what kind of wine are you drinking? Is it white or red? Is the body, is it full body, is a medium type of body, is it earthy, things like, is it semi-sweet, is it very dry, is it very oaky, and those really are the basic notes that you can give to somebody who wants to taste wine. Why am I asking that? Because people come up to me and they're saying, oh, you understand wine, which wine do you recommend? I never recommend a wine until I get basic information about what they like, okay? So that, I think, is extremely important. Those kind of notes are extremely important for any wine drinker. Now you have the more detailed type of notes, so that you're talking about, again, once your palate is more developed, once you've been drinking wine for a long time, that is, you know, that becomes more of a hobby. That can become something that's more interesting. And I think they're both important. Again, depends on what kind of level of drinker you are.
I was reading recently an article written by Eric Asimov from the New York Times, one of the leading wine critics in this country. And he was saying that he totally disagreed with the numeric value that Robert Parker started, because it depends on the individual palate, he said. He also disagrees with all the different names. According to him, there should only be two types of wines, sweet and savory. Right? There are degrees of sweetness, there are degrees of savory. But, he says, those should be the two basic words to describe wines, and more people would then be able to understand what the wine would taste like. Do you agree or do you disagree?
Well, I agree with the first statement, and I disagree with the second statement. The first statement that people give scores is, I think, is wrong. I think if you are the type of person that, like Pinot, you're not going to like a full-bodied California Syrah. Now, are you going to tell me that Syrah is better than that French Pinot Noir? That is absolutely a false statement. Those both can get a 9, right? But they're completely
right.
Different wines. One person can like that. One person can like, you know. So I think that the score should be, what is the wine supposed to taste like? Did it reach that objective? I think getting a score out of 100, I think, is an issue to me, because I know that there's wines that I like and wines that I don't like. And more than that, I'd like to add something for many critics that I can tell you from experience, and I've read a lot of notes and a lot of scores, the drier and the more complex wine are those that get higher scores. And I can tell you that most people that drink wine, even dry red wine, prefer a much less oaky, a much less complex wine. So if you're going to go by that score, you're going to end up drinking and buying really expensive wines that you might not like. So you have to be very careful with that. Now, dividing two wines into two different categories, I think that's also a mistake. I think we have the fact that we have so many types of categories of wine is amazing. For example, I have a rosé. Kadesh Barnea has an amazing rosé. And, you know, it's rosé usually goes under the category of white wine. I'm not sure that's true. I think rosé should have its own category. Of course you have red and you have dry and sweet. But between you and me, a semi-dry wine, needs to have its own category. So I'm not sure that you should simplify this, you know, industry by two categories only.
Okay, I can hear that. Years ago, about 5 or 6 years ago, actually, John Cleese of Monty Python fame did a series of videos on wine. On one of them, he invited a lot of actors, some of whom knew wine, some of them absolutely did not, and he brought out some of the wines from his own cellar. Those who were more sophisticated usually agreed with his comments. Those who were mostly into sweet wines, if at all, obviously found his choices not the very best. So then he ended up that video by saying that there is no such thing as a wine that is perfect for everybody. One critic may like it, the next one may ban it. And in any case, while it is important that you read up a little bit about what the critics think, it's really your own palate that should be the real critic.
It is beyond truth. First of all, I'd like to add that my wife and I saw that movie just a couple of months ago. I got to tell you, that movie, it was interesting. And, you know, we laughed and smiled a couple of times. I was a little disappointed by the actual production. I thought the quality of the movie was not very high. But if you can get over that, I think you'll enjoy the movie, especially if you're a wine lover. But, you know, we can't say enough about scores and about categories and about, you know, if this wine is good or not. It really depends on a person. More than that, you know the definition where people say, oh, red goes with meat and white goes with dairy.
I think that's one of the most ridiculous
statements I've ever found.
Of course.
And more than that, it's not just depending on the person. It depends on the mood. When we drink a lot of wine on Shabbos table, obviously on summertime we drink more white, more a cold, you know, a wine that is chilled, like a rosé or white wine. In the winter, we'd like more red wine, and with meat, I like something that has a lot more complex. But you know what? One time I had a meat, and I said to myself, why don't I try, an oaky Chardonnay with it? And it was great. So all this definition, all those rules should be thrown away. I think you should a wine is something you should enjoy and be as flexible as possible with.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned the mood. The guy who preceded you as the Tishbe distributor for you, he once said on my show that the taste of a wine depends on the particular mood and who you are with. If you're in a bad mood, no matter how great a wine it is, it's not going to hit the spot. If you're next to a loved one, if you're next to good friends, the wine may not be the top wine, but it's certainly going to taste delicious.
That's an interesting statement. But you can say that about anything, not just about wine. Anything that is done with somebody that you love and a good experience that has a positive vibe, you'll enjoy more. You can say that about a movie, and you can definitely say that about wine. I agree with that statement.
Okay, now let's talk about some of the wines that you distribute. The lines are Shiraz from California, I believe, Tishbe, Kadesh Barnea, Gush Etzion, and Har Bracha. What can you tell us about those wines?
First of all, I'd like to take this opportunity for our listeners to know that we, The River, is going to have an event on July 21st where we're going to have tastings of all those wines. And it's not just going to be a wine tasting, it's going to be a nice event with a lot of food, a lot of good people, great vibe. That will be on July 21st at the Brownstone in the East Village in Manhattan, where we're going to have, other than those wines, we're going to have two more wineries, which I'm not allowed to talk about yet until the contract will be signed. But we're going to have
those
wineries.
Well, give us at least a hint. Are they Israelis?
What is the question?
The wineries, are they Israeli wineries or from another country?
All the wineries that are going to be in the at our event, which are mine, are Israelis, with the exception of we're going to have one Shira wine, which is the Shira winery is from California, Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Bordeaux. Sorry, the Bordeaux, by the way, is a Shiraz winery. It's a Shiraz wine.
Right.
We're going to have a French wine from Bordeaux. And we're also going to have vodka from Finland, Moses Vodka.
Ooh. Okay.
So what is interesting about those wines is, first of all, the location. Tishbe is from the north.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Har Bracha, which is, you know, a couple of miles, it's in the Shomron, so it's north of Yerushalayim, but south of Zichron Yaakov, south of Tishbe. Then you have...
Now, Har Bracha must be a relatively new winery, or at least a very small one, because while I know the others, I never heard of Har Bracha.
Har Bracha is an extremely small winery, and yes, a new winery. They just started producing wines 2 years ago. They've been growing grapes for the last 10 years, and they've been selling their grapes. Now,
mm-hmm.
they realize that those wineries that purchase their grapes happen to produce great wines. Obviously, and by the way, this is something also that our listeners should know, 90% of good wine is based on a good grape. So you can be the best winemaker in the world, but if you don't have an exceptional grape, the wine won't be that great. So Har Bracha, they realized that, and they said, why don't we make our own wine with those amazing grapes? And by the way, they are the Har Bracha is on the mountain of Har Bracha, the blessed mountain where Hashem gave the six tribes who were sitting in Har Gerizim and Har Ebal. So
mm-hmm.
this Har Bracha is Har Gerizim, and that's where they grow the grapes. They produce about 5,000 bottles a year, and next year with our help they're going to produce 10,000 and hopefully grow from there. That's the Har Bracha. That's north of Yerushalayim. South of Yerushalayim is Gush Etzion, and then all the way down south is Kadesh Barnea. So if you can visualize the map of Israel, you have
mm-hmm.
Tishbe on the north, in the middle you have Har Bracha, under that you have Gush Etzion, and under that you have Kadesh Barnea. Very interesting. And it's not just the location. As you know, location of your vineyard produce very different wines. And every single winery have their own philosophy. I just want to talk about, and I always give the example of Kadesh Barnea versus Gush Etzion. Okay, so Kadesh Barnea is all the way down in the desert. And Gush Etzion
mm-hmm.
wine, they grow the grapes 900 meters above sea level, where it snows in the winter and a very cool climate at night versus grapes that grow in the desert. So the difference between them is that Gush Etzion have a very complex type of wine. They spend a lot of time in oak, a lot of time in barrel, so they're very smoky and very, very dry versus the Kadesh Barnea, which grow in the desert, which means that the grape generates a lot of sugar. A lot of sugar doesn't allow a lot of complexity. So the Kadesh Barnea, they are very light wine, very friendly, medium body, and have a lot of fruit.
Okay. Now, can we hear about what are some of the wine selections of the various wineries?
Sure. Let's take an example, Shira Winery. The Shira Winery from California, the winemakers are the Weiss brothers, Gabriel and Shimon, greatest people you will ever meet, down-to-earth, very friendly with that, very knowledgeable and love their wine. Their wines usually are based on the Syrah grape, the Shiraz grape.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their most known wine is Power to the People, which is 98% Syrah and 2% Viognier.
Viognier.
It was a very big wine, very successful. And when customers asked me, a very limited quantity, and when customers asked me, are we going to have it soon? When I asked the Weiss brothers, are we going to have that wine soon? They said, it all depends on the grape. We're not going to just produce another Power to the People unless it will be the quality. So right now we have Syrah grapes in barrels, and if they will continue testing and checking and tasting those wines, and it will be on the right level, we will have another year of Power to the People. We have Counterpunch, which is coming for the Chagim. We have the Coalition, and we might even have White Viognier for the Chagim as well. Kadesh Barnea has a couple of entry-level wines. We have a Cab, Merlot, and the Negev. Negev is a blend. It's a blend of Cab, Cab Franc, and Merlot. I think is the most successful of them all from the entry level because it has more complexity than the others, and with that it's a little bit more fruity. Although, if you ask my wife, she will tell you the Cab is better. So again, I just give you my opinion, but on the same exact sentence, I will tell you that somebody else thinks differently. What's interesting about Kadesh Barnea is that they came in with a high end wine, so their entry level wines on the shelf are about $18 to $20. They have a $35 bottle, which is 100% Petit Verdot. What's interesting about the Petit Verdot? Petit Verdot is the grape that you use usually as an addition to a blend.
Right, I was about to mention that.
Right, so the Bordeaux blend is a Cab Merlot, a Cab Franc, and a little bit of Petit Verdot, something like 4% or 8%. Why? Because the Petit Verdot is so spicy and sometimes bitter that you can't have too much of it. However, in Kadesh Barnea, because it's grown in the desert, if you remember earlier my statement where the grape generated a lot of sugar, it is possible, one of the only places in the world where it's possible to enjoy 100% Petit Verdot. So that's the Kadesh Barnea.
I think it's probably the first wine ever made that's 100% Petit Verdot.
Actually,
that I've seen Petit Verdot, it's used, you know, in conjunction with, whether it's in Israel or anywhere else.
Yeah, there are, I know there's one from Australia, and I know that I think Tepperberg from Israel has another 100% Petit Verdot. I might be wrong, but I know there's another one in Israel that has a Petit Verdot, but as you said, it is extremely rare to find 100% Petit Verdot.
Mm-hmm. What about Tishbe? Tishbe has been around for a long, long time. Their wines are superb wines. What can you tell us about them?
Well, Tishbe has been since 1870. I don't remember the exact date, but a really, really long time. It's one of the first wineries in Israel. It was originally called Baron Rothschild winery.
Right.
And they produce over 1 million bottles a year. They they export to Europe, America, to Asia. Great winery. They have low-level wineries, wines, some Vusha wine you can find for $10 bottles, mass-produced. However, with that, they have the ability to also produce great wines. Let's say their higher level is their estate wine. Their estate wines include Merlot, Cab, Pinot Noir, and the new Malbec. So they're very famous for their Shiraz, or the estate Shiraz.
Mm-hmm.
They're very famous for their Cab, and it's one of, again, one of the only successful Pinot Noirs in Israel. But we just brought in the Malbec, which is a phenomenal Malbec, and I can show you a couple of articles of, you know, those that give wine notes saying that he's by far the best kosher Malbec in the market. I'm sure some people will agree with
that. An interesting thing about the Malbec, as far as I was concerned, for many, many years, I thought that Malbec, if it's not from Argentina, it's not Malbec. I tasted an Israeli Malbec, and wow, I was floored.
Yeah, so I'm first of all, I'm urging you to try the Tishbi Malbec. I have never, I'll tell you the story. When we came, when my wife and I came to visit the Tishbi winery, we came to talk about business. And we sat down, we had a meeting, you know, and we kept on talking. While we were talking, Golan Tishbi, the winemaker, the son of Jonathan Tishbi, poured us the and we
Malbec.
It was, by the way, he was pouring out the Malbec. We didn't even know, you know, we saw a glass of wine in front of us, we drank, and we both tasted it, and our jaws dropped. We stopped the conversation, we looked at each other, and we're like, what is this? I mean, we knew it was Malbec just because of the uniqueness of the taste, but we were blown away. It was one of, by far, top five of my favorite wines. The bad thing, or good thing, it depends how you look at it, is a very limited quantity. The 2009 was completely gone within minutes. When I brought it here, I brought 140 cases and it was gone. 3 weeks from now, we're going to have 70 more cases. Hopefully, it's going to last for the holiday. Great, great wine. Jonathan Tishbi also have some reserved wine, the De Beaucaire wine. It's also a Bordeaux blend, by the way. It's the Merlot Cab, Cabernet Franc, a little bit of Petit Verdot, grown in De Beaucaire, which is, by the way, south, you know, the desert of Israel. They have a great Brut, you know, the what you call the champagne, and a couple of dessert wines.
Okay, what about some of the other wineries that you carry? Like, what are some of their selections?
Well, Har Bracha has right now two level wines. The reserve wine, what you call the Highlander. You have the Cab and the Merlot. Very typical Cab and Merlot. The only thing I can tell you about it is they're both extremely full-bodied and fruity, what we call a very Jewish wine. It got great reviews on that wine. And they just came out with a lower or entry-level wine, the Petit Syrah. The Petit Syrah is an $18 wine on the shelf, but the reviews that we've got on this wine were remarkable. One of the most amazing stories that we just got is that it just got an award in Europe at a contest called Decanter. And what's amazing about it is that it has never given an award to a winery that is from the West Bank for obvious political reasons.
Right.
When it got the award, that wine was all over the news, not because the news loves to talk about wine or food. It's just for political reasons. They're so amazed that you know, that they gave a winery from the Shomron that award. And we're doing great with it. I think in the last 4 months, when you look at the number, is the best-selling wine right now. Maybe because of the award, maybe because it's the price point. But, you know, between you and me, it really is a good wine. So that's the wines from Har Bracha. And the wines from Gush Etzion, also there are three different levels. You have Nahala Pirim, which is a red wine, the Cab Merlot, Nahala Pirim, or in America actually it's called Spring River, the Cab Merlot. And then you have the reserve line, which is the Lone Oak. The Lone Oak, you have Syrah, Cabernet Franc, and a Cab, 100% Cab, 100% Cab Franc, and the Syrah. Those have been about 22 months in oak, really a great reserve, very complex wine. The Spring River, the Cab Merlot, is a more fruity, easier to drink wine. And then you have the Blessed Valley wine, which is also a blend of Cab Franc and a Merlot, spend about 26 months in oak, which, by the way, was one of the best wines of the year in 2007. A little bit expensive. It's a $37 bottle, but, you know, if you really want to impress a guest, I would definitely, you know, recommend this wine.
Okay. Now, tell me, how does one get a reservation so that they can attend your event? How does one get in touch with you?
Very, very easy. First of all, you can go to our website, theriverwine.com, or you can Google The River Kosher Wine. You'll find this very quickly. But if you want to see more information about the event, you want to register, you go to Facebook and you search for Red, White, and Champagne. That's the name of the event, Red, Wine, and Champagne. I think there's the ticket is early bird, $35 until July 1st, and after July 1st, it's going to be $45. And by the way, there's a VIP ticket also available. They're a little expensive. They're $75 each, but you get to spend time with winemakers, and you get to taste wines that are expensive. For example, we're going to have the Tishbe Brandy. The Tishbe Brandy is a $200 bottle brandy that won 2 years ago the best brandy in the world in London. Non-kosher, not Israeli, just overall best brandy in the world. Very famous brandy. When I started importing Tishbe, all my retailers said to me, Ami, you have to bring the brandy. You know, their last importer did not bring, you have to bring a very famous, very expensive, but, you know, it's one of the best in the world. It's a 16-year brandy. We're going to have that at the event. We're going to have Camille Rosé, which is, you know, a nice high-end Bordeaux. We're going to have some new wines from Shiraz. It's going to be interesting. So that's the VIP between 5 to 7. But, again, the rest of the night is going to be a great event. A lot of food, a lot of great people, and that's it, you know.
Every time I've gone to a wine tasting, not only is it a great place for finding about new wines, but it's a great place for finding people with, you know, who are into wines. It's a great place to find old friends. It's a great place for superb conversations.
It is. It really is. You know, I look forward for wine event, and not just for business reasons. In before Pesach, we had a huge event in City Winery in New York, where all the wholesalers, all the kosher wholesalers, were there introducing their wines, and it's one of my favorite events of the year. I go to the different wholesalers. Yeah, in the Jewish, exactly, and we shake hands and we talk about our different wines. We talk about our industry. We get to talk to a lot of people. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people come, and they love to come and talk to us about not just the wines themselves, about, you know, about the industry. How did you get to this type of work, and you know, what can you tell us about the winemaker? Do you know the owner? You know, it's a great event. I agree. It's not just for the wine, you know, the company, and just to be with people who really appreciate wine and good time. Yeah, that is something I appreciate myself.
Okay, and we're just about out of time. You've been a superb guest. Time flew by way too fast. I would like to do this again sometime in the near future.
I would enjoy that. Thank you for having me.
Okay, it's a pleasure. Thank you very, very much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Thank you and good night, one and all.